at the close of that verse that this song is referencing and singing, it ends with this: and so I will put my name on the children of Israel. I'll put my name on them. I'll identify them as mine, and I will bless them. So this song, as beautiful as it is tied to that name of God. And so I don't feel ready to move on and say what I have to say. I feel like God has given me something, but I wonder if one more time we could pray in the name of Jesus. Specifically, pray that name over our families. Pray that name over our lost loved ones, our lost friends. Pray that name over this city. Lord, we pray in your name. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would put your name on this city. That you put your name on our families. You'd put your name on our lost loved ones, Lord. That you would identify them as yours. That they don't belong to anyone else. They don't belong in the hands of someone else other than you, Jesus. So we pray in that name. We claim the name of Jesus over this city. We claim and proclaim the name of Jesus over our families, Lord. As we know where your name is, where you identify those as yours, we know there is blessing. We know that there is healing. We know that there is deliverance. We know that there is rescue. Lord, we claim that in your name. We know you're moving. We know you're moving. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You feel his presence, this place. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love that song. I love it because it is directly from Scripture. I mean, almost word for word, depending on the translation, it pretty much is Scripture. And that chorus, amen. Let it be. Let it be. And the church should always be the amen to the promises of Scripture. Lord, you say there's redemption and rescue and healing and recovery and blessing for our families, for this city. Okay. The church should respond. Amen. Let it be. We believe it. We trust it. We look to it. We look for it. We put our faith in it, Lord. Amen. Amen from the church. That should resound each and every day of our lives, not just in this room, not just in this building, but every day that we wake up and we turn on the news and it looks hopeless, it looks doom and gloom, but we read Scripture and it says hope. There's hope in here. There's something coming down the pipeline from the Lord. Our response should simply be, okay, amen. Let it be. I receive it. I want it to happen in my city. I want it to happen in my family. I want it to happen in my own life. Amen. Okay. Okay, God, we trust you. We believe in you. We put our hope in you. Yes. Amen. Amen. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise team, for being sensitive and welcoming the presence of the Lord in this place and ushering us into it and giving us a hope. Thank you. Thank you. This morning, I get to speak on around similar lines. I've noticed in myself and I've noticed in other individuals when we look out in our society today, we look out in our world today, we are overwhelmed, it would seem, almost with bad news. They don't report the good stuff, I don't think. I think they just choose not to. Let's just keep everybody depressed. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to. It's going to be a dark winter. Well, Merry Christmas, you know. Bad news all around, everywhere. We can't get away from it. And I'm tired of it. And I know it's real. I know bad things are happening in the world. I understand all that. I really do. But I'm really in the mood at this point, at this stage of things, I'm really in the mood for some good news. I'm in the mood for some good news. I'm tired of the bad. Yes, it's real, but I need a break. I need some good news. And I want to preach this morning that simple title, Good News. Good News. I'm going to open with this. I'll let you be seated. Paul's writing in Romans 1, starting in verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it, in that gospel, the righteousness of God, other translations will say the faithfulness, the covenant faithfulness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed. In fact, right now I'm real excited about the good news of God. I wonder one more time if you want to put your Bibles down and offer a prayer to the Lord. Father, I pray that you would work today in this service. I pray you would ready our hearts, ready our minds, open our spirits up to your word. I pray that you would anoint each of us, God, that we would be able to speak and hear all of what you want to be said, all of what you want to be heard, Jesus. We put it in your hands and we look to you, God. We want to experience you today, Jesus. We want to be challenged by you today, Lord. We, most of all, today we want good news from you, Lord. We know you have it. We know that you are good news, Jesus. So I pray that we would receive it. I pray we would receive it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. It doesn't take long after reading our New Testaments that we realize all of the writers over and over again have something to say about the good news. And really, we're accustomed to that as Christians, you know, the gospel. We've heard that, and really the simplest way to translate that word, the gospel, is good news, as opposed to bad news. We've got some good news, and if you read carefully enough, you read closely enough, they seemed pretty excited about it. In fact, they almost seem urgent. I'm trying to tell you there's good news. I'm trying to tell you something awesome has happened. Something good has happened despite all of the craziness and chaos of life. Something good has happened. And honestly, today, if I found out some really good news, I'd probably be urgent to share it with y'all. Guess what? Christmas is close. My wife loves Christmas. That's the best news. Christmas is close. You read in Matthew 1, it says, Jesus, he's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. He's quoting Old Testament prophecies. Hey, it's coming to pass. Good news is around the corner. You read Mark 1, it says, the way of the Lord is being prepared when God would come in and rescue the world and make things right. You read Luke 1, it talks of John preparing the way of the Lord again and Jesus sitting on the throne of David. You go to Acts, it says, these are the last days in which Jesus is on the throne. He's in charge. He's in control. Romans 1 passage that we said, it's the righteousness of God. It's finally revealed right now. This is the day. 1 Corinthians 2, it says, the Lord of glory, that what is no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, it's revealed today. All the promises and blessings of God, they are present right here on earth. 2 Corinthians 6, he says, now is the time of favor. Now is the time of blessing. It previously was not the time of favor and blessing. Jesus wasn't around yet, but now is the time. Right now, as we sit here, Galatians 3 says Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise of old that all the nations would be blessed by a seed of Abraham, this blessing that was going to come. It's today. It's happening right now. We don't have to wait for it any longer. It's not coming around the corner. It's around the corner. It's right here. Ephesians, it says the mystery of God's will that has been hidden. It's revealed its purpose in Jesus Christ. That's good news. That the will of God is now present on earth. Colossians 2 says all the fullness of that God is in Jesus and that we're made complete in him. Previously, we were not complete. We were not whole. But all of a sudden, when Jesus showed up, all of a sudden we are complete. We have wholeness. We have hope in our life. Hebrews says that the prophets spoke an awful lot about God's goodness, about the blessing that would come. But he says in Jesus is that final word of blessing, is that final word of promise. And when we get that final revelation of Jesus, it changes our lives. It's today. We don't have to wait for it any longer. We have the final word of God in Jesus. 1 Peter, it says concerning this salvation, the prophets were wondering about it. We don't have to wonder about it anymore. We're experiencing this salvation in Jesus. Right now, I cannot help but when I read my New Testament, they seem awfully excited about some good news that had happened in their day. They didn't seem worried about a whole lot. The Empire of Rome was torturing them, was oppressing them. All these bad things were going on, and all they could talk about was the good news of Jesus. They said, in fact, these light afflictions, this little bit of suffering, can't be compared to this hope, can't be compared to this good news that we have experienced. They didn't seem to focus on much else other than the good news. This is what they had their hope in. This is what they were so excited about. They didn't have to wait for it. It was right now. What had been expected for so long, what had been waited for in that Old Testament time period where all they were doing is looking into the future, prophesying about it. Hey, this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. The New Testament writers say, hey, it's here. It's not coming, it's here. It's right here today at APC, it's here. It's in this building, APC, it's in St. Louis. We're not saying hope is coming around the corner. Hope is here. It's already here. We don't have to wait for it. We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to wonder if it's going to happen. It's already here. Hope is here. The good news is here. The good news is available. The good news is present in the life of every believer. And in our city, it is present. It's here. Matthew 11, 4 through 5, John sends disciples, some of his disciples to Jesus, and it says, hey, are you the guy? I've heard an awful lot about this good news. It's coming around the corner, but are you the dude? Are you the guy that we're looking for? And Jesus, he answers and he says to him, he says, you go and tell John the things which you hear, the things that you see. The blind are seeing again. The lame, well, they're walking again. The lepers, they're cleansed. The deaf are hearing again. The dead are raised up. And the poor have that good news preached to them. You have to understand, these were all signs. These were all Old Testament promises, signs that the good news had already arrived. You want to know if the good news is here? People are getting healed. Sicknesses that medicine can't explain, God takes care of. He says, I'm the guy. That was Jesus' way of saying, yeah, I'm here. I'm on the scene. You don't have to wait any longer. The good news has arrived. It's here. So it had arrived. They weren't waiting. They weren't waiting. Jesus said, I'm the guy that's going to make the world right. All the chaos, all the bad news, all the craziness that's going on, don't worry about it anymore. I'm here. I'm going to take care of it. And then whenever we go to Acts, the apostles said, the gospels were saying, yeah, Jesus is the guy. You go to the book of Acts, and the apostles were like, yep, he was the guy. That's what they have to say. You read Acts 3:16, somebody's healed, and they're looking at Peter. They're looking at the apostles. They're like, man, was this you? Did you do this? It's like, no. It says it was in his name, in Jesus' name, and through faith in his name. That's what made this man strong. That's what healed this man whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This is the guy. This is the guy to look to. Don't look at us. We don't have the hope. We're not the hope. We're not the cure. We're not the remedy. But I know somebody I can point to who is. And the apostles' message is, he's here. He's available. We don't have to wait for it. We don't have to wonder. He is here. It's readily at hand. Y'all got me out of breath up here. My breath is here. Say, good news. Yeah. The good news is, the early church had it. The early church had it. You want to know what the better news is? Y'all already know where I'm going. You want to know what the better news is? We've got it. We can have it. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wonder. It wasn't just for them. It wasn't just for that first century. It wasn't just for those individuals. It wasn't just for those people, but it's for us sitting here in these pews. It's for our families. It's for our cities. It's for our loved ones. It's for everybody. It's here. We don't have to worry about it. In fact, we're invited to be a part of it. We're invited to experience the good news. We're invited to experience the blessing. We all know this because we're good Pentecostals. Acts 2:38 and 39, Peter stands up. They ask, they said, what do we got to do to be saved? In other words, what do we got to do to participate in this thing? To get a hold of the good news. Right now, we're under condemnation. We killed Jesus. What do we got to do to participate in the good news side of that? He says, repent. Be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for this promise. This good news is for you, it's for your children, and it's for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. However many he wants to. It's not limited. It's not limited to the first century. It's not limited to this building. It's not limited even to the UPCI. It's for everybody who wants to experience the promise. It is available. That's good news, church. That's good news that we get to experience the presence and Spirit of God in our lives. As much hopelessness is going on in the world, and I'll say it like this, sometimes the spirit of those things can get inside of us. And we can look at the world through that lens. Man, the world's a real bad place. It's real depressing out there. It's going to be cold, dark winters. And we can let those things possess us, get a hold of us. And it determines how we view the rest of our life. It determines how we view the world around us. And here in Acts 2:38, he says, don't forget all that stuff. There's good news. And the good news of the Spirit of God should possess us, should get inside of us. And that every time we look out into the world, every time we look out at our lost loved ones, our families, our city, I don't view it through the chaos. I don't view it through the bad news. I don't view it through the dark, cold winter coming. I view it through the eyes of the fact that Jesus is King. He sits on His throne. His Spirit's available, and it can bring revival. It can bring a change to our lives and to our world. That's how I view reality. That's how I view this outside world. I'm not worried, church. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. Sometimes I let those things get in me. I'm like, man, this is bad. Like, what are we going to do? And I got to return to the fact that I've got good news. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be possessed by the bad news because we've got good news. We've got good news. We can be a part. And we're encouraged to be a part by that repentance, that baptism in Jesus' name, by receiving His Spirit into our life. And anybody and everybody can do that. Anybody and everybody is invited to do that. And what's really neat is it's not just about salvation. It's not just about, that's awesome. That's wonderful. I have a hope in the future. I have a hope of salvation. God is with me. But this covers all areas of our life. This good news. Are you worried about the future? Do you want a confidence of the future? Isaiah 9 says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government's on His shoulders. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there's no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The Lord of hosts, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And that's an Old Testament prophecy of somebody being born. The Gospels say, hey, you want to know who that's about? Jesus. He's already been born. He's already seated on the throne. And what that scripture tells me is that the increase of his government and of His peace, the increase, not just that He's going to reign forever in a small little corner of the world, but the increase of His government and of His peace, there will be no end. It will go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Some of us are worried about different governments increasing. We know who we are. Some of us are worried about government. Some of us are worried about some of these things. I'm not. I'm only concerned with one government. And that's the government of Jesus Christ. Because in the end, that's the only one that matters. And in the end, that's going to be the only one standing. That's going to be the only one that lasts the test of time. That's going to be the only one that's in charge. I want to be a part of that government. I want to be a part of that peace. I want to be a part of judgment and justice are going to be the cornerstones of that government. That's the one I'm looking forward to. I've got good news. Whatever bad news you're worried about in our governmental systems, I know it's understandable. I know that there are things we need to be informed about and maybe even worry about a little bit, but I've got good news. There's an eternal government and a government of the Lord that is filled with judgment and justice and peace and blessing and goodness that will go on forever. Ephesians 1:20-21 says, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, not only right now, right here, but also in the age to come. There's a King who's on the throne. There's a King who is seated on His throne, and He's far above principality. He's far above power. He's far above might, dominion, every name that could be named. Anything we could think of that might have a stronghold in this world, He's above it. We don't have to be worried about anything. We have good news. We have good news. I'm not worried about it. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't concern me because I know ultimately who is king. I know ultimately who is in charge. Do you need hope? You need hope in your life? Romans 15:13, he says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And notice joy and peace, and I'm going to get to those. Joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8:28, he says, and we know. That's a confident statement. In the middle of persecution in that first century empire, he says, and we know. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. You need hope today? You need hope today? The God of hope is with us. And he'll make us abound in hope by the power of his Spirit. You need hope today? You've got Christ in you. He's the hope of glory. You need hope today in the middle of all the hopelessness? The word of the Lord says all those things are really just working out for our good. All those things are really just working out for the purposes of God. We can hope in that. We don't have to worry about the randomness of life. Life is not just a bunch of random atoms and molecules bumping into each other and things are just, you know, working themselves out. I don't believe that. I believe God's working. I believe he's in charge. I believe he's in control. And so I have hope in that. Are things crazy outside? Yeah. Is it cold? Yes. Ask my wife. It's cold. In a few ways. I'm not bothered. Because I have good news. I have a hope in Christ. You need peace? Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious for anything. You're like, yeah, right, Paul. Go back to writing your letters. Get out of here. Don't have anxiety about anything. Kind of a jerk, really. We're like, don't you know that there's so much to be anxious about? He's like, yeah, I'm in prison right now. He's in prison. The sewage would run at his feet in the prison he was in. He's got sewage at his feet. It's a cramped space. And he's writing, don't worry. What? Who is this guy? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. We don't even get this. We don't get how Paul could sit with sewage at his feet, cramped space, and say, don't worry. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't have my Starbucks in a few days. And I'm like, there's a lot to worry about, people. Just being real. Pastor, talk to me later. We'll get my spirituality worked out. This guy, he says, don't you worry about that. Because the peace of God is going to cover you. You need peace? I've got good news today. You can have it. You need to be free from anxieties today? I've got good news. You can be free. You can be free from those anxieties. Is it a process at times? Sure. Do we need to work on our minds and our hearts informed by scripture and prayer and fasting and church? Sure. That's all true. But I have good news. It can happen. I've got good news. You can get there. You can find that peace. You can have that peace. Do you need joy? We need some joy. We need some joy. Romans 14:17, I love this. He's dealing with some issues, Paul is, and he's giving a correction. He says, for the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We should be a real happy people. I'm not saying this is not APC. This is other churches, maybe in Illinois or something, you know, that we'll blame them, right? Walking into service and we're just like, and we sit down and happy to be here. Bunch of Eeyores in the church. Not the, yeah, not APC. No, 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 no. No. The word says the kingdom of God is about joy. We should be happy that we're sitting in this kingdom. We should be happy that we have peace. We should be happy that we have hope. We should be happy that we have confidence for the future. We should be happy about our salvation. We should be happy about the comfort that we find in God. It is about joy in the Holy Spirit. If we don't have joy, we better check our Holy Spirit. We need joy. And the good news is, that's what this kingdom's all about. You can have it. The good news is you can have joy. Acts 8:39. Now when they came up from the water, this is the story of the eunuch and Philip. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Apparently he transported. That's pretty cool. It says, caught him away so that the eunuch saw him no more. The eunuch comes out up from baptism, and the dude that baptized him is gone. Imagine. You're getting baptized, you come up, and no one's here. You're like, oh my God, what just happened? But listen to his response. He says, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away rejoicing. Well, he's gone, but I've got the Holy Ghost. Well, he's gone, but I've been baptized in the kingdom of Jesus. Well, he's gone, but I've got joy unspeakable, full of glory. He might be somewhere else, but I'm okay. I've got joy in the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:49-52. I'm gonna barrage you with scripture today, okay? Acts 13:49-52, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city. They raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. That's pretty harsh. They kicked them out. I love this. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy. And with the Holy Spirit. They done got kicked out of the club. Like, hey, I'm okay. I've still got joy. I've still got happiness. I've still got the Spirit of God working in my life. The good news is the joy that we have in the Spirit of God is not dependent on what clubs we belong to. It's not dependent on our acceptance by the world. It's not dependent on any of those things. It's not dependent on who's in office. It's not dependent on what's going on in the political sphere. No, it's dependent on the Holy Spirit. It's dependent on the presence of God in our lives. Even when the eunuch comes up confused, he's happy about it. He's got the Spirit of God in his life. When the apostles are kicked out, even though they were preaching the name of Jesus, it's okay. They're happy about it because the Spirit of God was working in their life. Do you need joy today? You can have it. The good news is you can have it. Do you need healing? You need healing in your body. You need healing in your mind. You need healing in your spirit. What is it? You need healing? James 5:14-15. Is anyone among you sick? These were bold people. Who's sick? Get up here. You know, we're going to pray for you. You know, they were bold about it. Who's sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray. Let him pray over him. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And this is such a weird addition, we don't understand. If he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Do you need spiritual healing? Do you need it? I've got good news today. You can have it. You can have it. You don't have to wait. You don't have to look any other place. You can have it right here. Psalm 103:3-4. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. He's talking about not forgetting the blessings and benefits of the Lord. And it says, this Lord is the one who forgives all of your iniquities and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Do you need healing today? No matter what version of healing you're thinking of, do you need it today? There's a God who will redeem your life and who will crown you. Sometimes, and this isn't in my notes, but I just feel it, sometimes we're crowned with sickness and whatever that is, physical, spiritual, emotional. Sometimes we crown ourselves with that sickness. It's the thing we wear. Yeah, it's ours. We claim, yeah. Sometimes we have a tendency to do that. I'm pointing here. This God says, I'll redeem you from all that. And I'll put a new crown on your head. That crown will be my loving kindness. That crown will be my tender mercies. That'll be the new thing that defines you. That'll be the new thing that sits on top of your head that everybody sees when you walk in. That'll be your new crown. You need healing today. APC, anybody watching? Maybe you're watching months, years from now. You need healing today. The good news is you can have it. It's available. It's here. It's ready. Do you need forgiveness, deliverance, salvation, restoration? You need any of that? 1 Corinthians 6:11. He says, and such for some of you. He's listing a bunch of sins. Some pretty bad ones. He says, some of y'all were doing these things, but you were washed. You were justified. You were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Those things were washed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone takes on this Jesus in their life, those old things, they're gone. They're a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you come from. I don't care how bad you think it is. Do you need deliverance? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need salvation? I've got real good news today. You can have it. You can have it. And it's not just about this side of heaven where all things are being made new. Revelation 21:5, it says, the one who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Right, for these words are true and faithful. All things are changing under my power. All things are getting better. All things are working out for the good of those who are called by God. All things are being made new. And we're heading somewhere in the future in Revelation 21:4 where God's going to wipe away all those tears. All those tears that we cried. And there's going to be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain for the former things. Meaning those old things on this side of heaven that we're used to dealing with. And having some young gun up here telling you not to worry about them. All those things. Says those are former things. That's how it used to be. But there's coming a day when it's not going to be that way anymore. There's going to be something new going on in the atmosphere. There's going to be something new going on in creation. There's going to be something new going on even in our lives. Something new. All things are going to be made new. And I'm coming to a close, don't worry. Got a few minutes. My brother Terry's going to come in with his smoke gun. That'll be the signal. You're done. Sometimes I think that two things can happen when we talk about the good news and about all the blessings of being a part of the kingdom of God, right? Two things can happen. One, it can become cliche to us because we've been in it. We're like, yeah, yeah, Jesus is good. We can do that. And another thing, and there's probably other options, but these are the two I thought of. Another thing that can happen is we could exclude ourselves from the good news. Maybe because we don't feel like we're adding up to deserve it. Maybe we've made some mistakes, or maybe some people have done things to us that have hurt us and damaged us, and we don't feel like we can have that good news. We feel excluded from the good news. Another one of my favorite portions of scripture is Isaiah 56:3-8. He's talking about the blessings of being a part of the people of God prior to this and all the goodness that comes along with it. And he says this in 56. He says, do not let the son of the foreigner, who has joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Don't let those words come out of your mouth. That you can't be a part. You can. That's the best news. If you're wondering if you can be a part, you can. You can. Nor let the eunuch say. Eunuchs, is, in brief, they had a defect according to the Old Testament law, and they're real noticeable. They had certain physical features. You could tell that they were a eunuch. He says, don't let the eunuch say. They couldn't have kids. Don't let the eunuch say, here I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls. Eunuchs weren't allowed in the walls, the temple of God. It says, but I'll give them a place in my walls, a place and a name better than sons and daughters. The thing they couldn't have on this side of heaven, the thing they couldn't experience. says, I'll give them something better. I'll give them an everlasting name. It shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the foreigner, the ones who said that they feel excluded, who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone, in fact. He goes ahead and said it. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, who remains in covenant relationship with God, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices, their commitments to the Lord, they'll be accepted. I'll accept them. Bring them. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, yes, he gathers Israel, that Old Testament people of God, he says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. Let's all stand in this place. This Isaiah 56 passage, I think it takes away all excuses for those wondering whether or not they could experience the good news of Christ. It says, don't even think about it. Don't even say I'm excluded. Don't even think that you're not a part. He says, yeah, I'm going to gather Israel, and this is a prophetic promise. He says, but I'm going to gather others. And that others, he just said a verse prior, and he says, everyone. Everyone who keeps relationship with me. These are the same words that Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. He says, whoever the Lord our God shall call, whoever's willing, they can experience. Why do you think the eunuch was so happy in the book of Acts? Came out of the water rejoicing. Because previously, he couldn't take part in the way that he would want to. But he comes up out of that water with this prophetic promise in hand, the name of Jesus applied to his life, and he says, I can take part. I have full membership in the kingdom of God. I don't have to wonder whether or not I can partake in the good news of Christ. I don't have to be afraid for myself any longer. I have full access. I have the full ability to approach the throne of grace in my time of need. You mean I can do all those things right now? And I just want to answer that question for him. I want to answer the question if it's in our hearts, in our minds. I have good news today. The answer is yes. You have full and complete access to the throne of God. You have full, unfettered access to the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're wondering if you can approach God or not, good news is you can. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be afraid about it. So at the end of this service, I want to pray two prayers, and we can pray them at the same time. That's fine. If we're filled up with the good news, we've experienced this. I want us to pray a prayer of thanksgiving and of praise. Lord, thank you for this good news. Thank you that my life is filled with the Spirit and promises of God, and I don't have to worry about life. I don't have to be so concerned about all the things that the world seems to worry about. Thank you, God, that I have that sort of life to live. But also, I want us to pray a prayer of mission. There's an old song we used to sing on MoMass. I don't even know if it's a song. Yes, I've got it. They would echo back, yes, I've got it. We would say, everlasting life, everlasting life. I don't even know what that is. I just remember that piece. Yes, I've got it. I've got the good news. Yes, you've got it. You've got the good news. And yes, they need it. They need it. They need the good news. So in all of our celebration and all of our thankfulness, all of our thanksgiving, thanking God that we get to participate, let us pray a prayer of mission. God, thank you that I have it. Thank you that APC has it. Thank you that this church and churches around us have it. That's good news. I'm thankful for that, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you would help us bring it. Help us bring it. Begin to pray that right now. Lord, help us bring it. Help us give it. Help us proclaim it. Help us share it, Jesus, with our world, with our city, with St. Louis, with our families, with our loved ones. Lord, help us to give this good news. Yes, Lord, I'm excited. I'm thankful. I'm overjoyed. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I don't even know how to contain my joy about all of this stuff, that the blessings that come with it. I'm thankful, Jesus. But never let me forget that there was a time when I didn't have the good news. There was a time when my family didn't have the good news. And Lord, let me reach to those Let me reach to those who do not have it. Let APC reach to those who do not have this good news and proclaim it as such. St. Louis, we have good news today. Families of APC, we've got good news today. Loved ones, we've got good news today. You can experience this good news today. It's free. It's unfettered. You can come to the throne of God. You can experience salvation. You can experience peace and joy and confidence. We've got good news today. I pray that the entire city of St. Louis would hear a resounding proclamation on our part of this good news. Because it is just that. It is good news. And it is news worth sharing. Amen. And we are called to share it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Why don't we thank him once again for that good news that we have. Lord, I thank you that I'm leaving here today. Your joy and your peace, God, and full of good news. That even though all the bad news is surrounding us, I thank you that I've got good news today. That I've got something worth sharing, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you for your word and that good news.